Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's hump day. Weekend's almost here. Just got to warn you ahead of time, I am sick as a dog today. The Chicago weather has been killing me, so my throat is very sore today, so I won't last very long, so bear with me if I start hacking here. I'll try not to. And that sound you hear in the background is the lovely sound of water dripping into the coffee pot. I thought that would be a good backdrop to today's show. Well, we're talking about the uniqueness of the Apostle Paul and his ministry, and kind of sum up what we've been talking about. If we do not correctly cut the word of truth, we will either come to passages of Scripture that we will either ignore or modify or blend them together. And when we do that, we turn the truth of God into a lie. And this is what's going on in Christendom today, a schizophrenic Christianity where they're trying to make passages in Matthew and Hebrews mean the same thing as Paul's grace message in Romans 3, 4, and Ephesians and so forth. You can't do that. When you do that, you turn the truth of God into a lie. Paul says in Romans 16, to him that is able, and the word able has to do with power, to him that is able to establish you in accord with my evangel, Paul says. My evangel. When God makes people solid, when he establishes them, that's what the word establish them is. It is to make solid. We talk about somebody who's a solid character. Somebody who's solid is somebody who's established in accord with Paul's evangel. Anything else is wishy-washy. And that's why we have such a confused message in Christendom, not recognizing the uniqueness of the Apostle Paul. Well, we talked about in Galatians 1 last time, there are three times in this chapter, it's divided up into three sections, where we have the phrase not, neither, but. And go back to and listen to the last audio to see how we covered each one of those. Last time we talked about verses 1 through 9, how Paul's apostleship is not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. And now in verse 10 we read this. We're going to talk about Paul's evangel. For at present am I persuading men or God, or am I seeking to please men? If I still pleased men, I were not a slave of Christ. For I am making known to you, brethren, as to the evangel which is being brought by me. Notice that. Brought by me, the message that he brought, that it is not in accord with man, for neither did I accept it from a man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to look at this here. It says that his evangel, the evangel that Paul brought to these Galatians, was not in accord with man. In other words, man wasn't the source of this gospel at all. Neither was he taught it. The Apostle Paul didn't go to Peter, James, and John, or any of the apostles before him to learn his evangel. Absolutely not. Peter had to learn what Paul was teaching. Peter had to learn it. Peter had no idea what Paul was preaching. That's why in Galatians 2, we're going to see that they saw that he was given the evangel of the uncircumcision. It was different than what Peter was proclaiming. So Paul says here, I was not taught this message, but here is the key, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. It came through a revelation of Jesus Christ, not neither but. What does this mean? Well, I want to show you. Turn to Acts 26, verse 16 and 17, because this is important. In Acts 26, 16 through 17, Paul is recounting the day he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And in verse 15, we read, "Now I say, who art thou, Lord? Now the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I was seen by you for this, to fix upon you before for a deputy and a witness, both of what you have perceived and that in which I will be seen by you, extricating you from the people and from the nations to whom I am commissioning you to open their eyes, to turn them about from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, for them to get a pardon of sins and allotment among those who have been hallowed by faith that is in me." Now notice this. In Paul's message here, the Lord Jesus says to him that you are to be a deputy and a witness both of what you have perceived, in other words, what he just perceived here on the road to Damascus, he saw the risen Lord, and that in which I will be seen by you. Notice that. The Lord Jesus had personal appearances. He personally appeared to the Apostle Paul. When Paul says he got his message by revelation, it doesn't mean that one day he was just sitting in his room and a thought came to him or the Spirit spoke to him. He had personal presence of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus came to Paul and sat down with him and taught him this message. this is what happened. This is what it means. They had a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul occupies a position in the body of Christ very similar to that which Moses had in Israel. Moses got the message directly from God and brought it to the people. And same... That's good news. That's the sound of the coffee pot telling me the coffee's done. Then the Apostle Paul got the message for the body of Christ in a very similar way, except, of course, his glory was much greater than Moses. Just read 2 Corinthians 3. His message far exceeded Moses. His was a message of exceeding grace and righteousness. But Paul got his message directly from the Lord Jesus himself. And that's what it means here when it says, but through a revelation of Jesus Christ, Paul got his evangel directly from the risen Savior. And all the teaching that we read in Paul's letters isn't something that Paul got a feeling about. It's something he got a message from the risen Lord directly by personal appearances. And I just want to make one comment as we close here in verse 13 and 14. For you hear of my behavior once in Judaism, that I inordinately persecuted the ecclesia of God and ravaged it. Notice, inordinately. That means he did it excessively. And he ravaged it, ravaged the ecclesia of God, those outcalled, those believers in Jerusalem. And I progressed in Judaism above many contemporaries in my race, being inherently exceedingly more zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Now, I want you to notice that it was impossible that Paul received his message from the 12 apostles. And he goes through great lengths to prove this, because he was actually killing these folks. He was going after them to have them arrested and executed. And so there's no way that Paul got this message from any of those folks in Jerusalem. That's why he's writing this thing here. And one more thing in closing is an encouragement. I want you to notice Paul's character. Paul was a gung-ho man. Paul had a character about him. When God created Paul, he made Paul a very zealous man. And notice when Paul was converted to Christ, God didn't change Paul's character in the sense of his personality traits. Notice how he did this. He was inordinately persecuting the ecclesia. He was ravaging it, and he was progressing in Judaism above many of his contemporaries. Well, when Paul became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God took that same characteristics, and now he used him for grace. And to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, yet in the grace of God, verse 10, I am what I am, and his grace which is in me did not come to be for naught, but more exceedingly than all of them toil I. Notice this. In Galatians 1, he progressed in Judaism above many contemporaries in his race, but now that he sees Christ, he's the same man, he's the same Paul, but this time he now has God's Spirit and love for God and other people, and he's still zealous, but now for the right way. He worked harder than all of them, more exceedingly than all of them toil I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. That's the Apostle Paul. So listen, your characteristics are God-given, and God doesn't change you and make you look different when you become a believer. You still look the same. You still have the same hair. Maybe when you get older, it gets a little gray. But that personality, who you are, is who God made you to be. And now take those personality traits and use them for the glory of God. Well, that's just a side note. And remember this, again, we cannot be established. We cannot be solid people unless we're established in accord with Paul's evangel. When we come back tomorrow, we'll finish Galatians 1. We're going to talk about how Paul's ministry is separate from that of the 12. So stick with us. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God in the correctly cut scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.